Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine personal records for 86 million people just
Boom.
out there circulating online.
Yeah, that scale is hard to grasp, like the entire population of a pretty big country.
Exactly. And then think about what's in that data. Names, addresses, birthdays. Okay, bad enough.
But then you add the Social Security numbers for nearly half of them.
Right. And here's the kicker, the thing that really jumped out from the sources we looked at. Those SSNs, they weren't encrypted.
Decrypted, plain text, just sitting there.
Which is incredibly alarming, that combination of scale and usable sensitive
Oh,
info.
absolutely. And that's what this deep dive is all about, this major cybersecurity incident hitting AT&T customers based on the reporting and analysis available.
And our mission today is pretty straightforward. Walk you through what the sources say happened, explain why this breach feels, well, different, more dangerous, maybe.
And critically, what steps you can actually take based on this info to protect yourself.
Okay, so where do we start? The beginning.
Yeah, let's trace the timeline from the source material. It seems this data first surfaced back on May 15th, 2025.
May 15th. And where did it show up?
Apparently on a known Russian cybercrime forum.
Okay, not good.
Not good at all.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a one-off thing. It got re-uploaded on June 3rd.
Re-uploaded, so it's definitely still circulating. It hasn't just disappeared.
Exactly. Confirms it's actively being shared or sold.
And the numbers, you said 86 million unique profiles.
That's right. The initial data set was slightly larger, over 88 million records. But after cleaning it up, removing duplicates, the analysis landed on 86,017,090 unique customer profiles.
Wow. So millions and millions of people, current customers, former customer.
Both. The sources indicate it impacts a huge swath of current and former AT&T subscribers.
Okay, let's get into the specifics of what data we're talking about, beyond just names.
Right, the sources listed out clearly. You've got complete customer names,
Okay.
dates of birth, phone numbers, email addresses, and physical home addresses, too.
Okay, that's already a pretty complete package for causing trouble.
It really is. But then we get to the part that elevates this whole thing, the Social Security numbers.
Yeah, that's the one. How many records had those?
The analysis pinpointed 43,989,219 records containing SSNs, almost 44 million.
Nearly half the data set. And this brings us to the core question, right? Why is this breach so much more dangerous? We hear about breaches all the time.
It's that decryption factor. That's the crucial point highlighted in the sources.
Explain that a bit more. Usually data is encrypted, right? Even if stolen.
Often, yes. In many past incidents, even if SSNs were stolen, they were scrambled encrypted, which means criminals need a key or serious computing power to unlock them. It's a barrier.
Still bad, but there's a lock on the door.
Exactly. Encrypted data is like a stolen, locked safe. Risky, but not immediately usable. Decrypted, plain text, SSNs. That's like the safe is wide open, the contents are right there.
No barrier at all.
None. And when you combine that plain text SSN with the name, date of birth, address,
Oh.
all found in the same record. Well, the sources call it unprecedented opportunities for cybercriminals.
Unprecedented opportunities for like stealing someone's identity outright.
Absolutely. Full-blown identity theft is top of the list.
What else?
Financial fraud, opening credit cards, loans in your name, really convincing social engineering attacks because they sound so legitimate having your details.
Right, they know your birthday, your address.
Exactly. Account takeovers for your other online accounts. Credit fraud, like we mentioned, that plain text SSN paired with the other identifiers, it's basically, well, a master key.
A master key to your financial and digital life. That's sobering.
It really is.
And AT&T, it feels like they've been in the news for data issues before, haven't they?
They have. The sources mentioned this provide some context. AT&T does have a history of significant cybersecurity incidents.
Like that Snowflake thing, wasn't that fairly recent? April 2024.
That's the one. Involved the Snowflake Cloud platform, affected a huge number, around 110 million customers, the report said.
And wasn't that linked to the same group, Shiny Hunters?
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
Shiny Hunters was connected to that incident and their potential linked here too, but there's a critical difference, the sources point out.
Which is?
In the Snowflake incident, the SSNs involved were reportedly encrypted.
Okay. So April 2024, huge numbers, but encrypted SSNs. Now, slightly smaller numbers, maybe, but plain text SSNs.
Precisely. That distinction is incredibly important for the level of immediate risk.
Wasn't there another big one even before Snowflake?
Yes, back in August 2021, also claimed by Shiny Hunters, affected around 70 million customers.
Okay.
And interestingly, AT&T only formally acknowledged that specific 2021 breach in April 2024. They clarified the data was older, from 2019 or earlier.
And who did that affect? Mostly old customers.
Yeah, they broke it down about 7.6 million current customers at the time, but a massive 65.4 million former customers.
So this latest breach, while distinct because of the decryption, it does kind of fit into a recurring pattern.
It certainly highlights ongoing challenges with protecting large amounts of customer data over time.
Okay, pattern noted. So what about AT&T's response to this specific incident, the one with the plain text SSNs? Have they said anything?
Well, this is where it gets a bit strange, according to the sources.
How so?
As of the time the reports we reviewed were published, AT&T hadn't actually issued an official statement confirming this specific breach or addressing it directly.
Really? That seems odd. Usually companies are pretty quick to notify, aren't they? Especially for something this severe.
It's a definite contrast to how they've handled some past incidents, where notifications were more prompt. This silence, as the analysis points out, naturally raises questions about their current incident response and, frankly, their transparency right now.
Yeah, you'd think they'd want to get ahead of this. Okay, so we know the scale, the danger, the history, the lack of current official word. Let's pivot to the most important part for anyone listening. What can you do? How do you protect yourself?
Right. Action is definitely needed. The sources lay out some clear steps, both immediate and longer term.
Okay. What's first? Immediately.
Immediately. If you are or ever were an AT&T customer, you need to monitor your credit reports. And not just one. Get reports from all three major bureaus, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion.
Pull all three and look for what? Accounts you didn't open, inquiries you don't recognize.
Exactly. Anything suspicious. Alongside that, you should seriously consider placing fraud alerts on your credit files.
What does a fraud alert do?
It basically flags your file, telling potential lenders they need to take extra steps to verify your identity before issuing credit. Yeah. It's a good first layer.
Okay. Anything else immediate?
The sources also recommend considering a credit freeze. This is more restrictive. It essentially locks down your credit file so no one can open new credit in your name, period. Unless you temporarily lift the freeze yourself.
So alerts are a flag, freezes are a lock.
Good way to put it. And of course, keep a very close eye on your bank statements and credit card statements. Look for any charges, even small ones, that you don't recognize.
Okay, that makes sense for immediate actions. What about longer-term protection? This data doesn't just vanish.
Exactly. Long-term two-factor authentication, or 2FA, is crucial. Enable it on all your important online accounts, email, banking, social media, everything. Not just AT&T.
That extra code you get texted or from an app?
Yes. It has a vital security layer. Also, password hygiene. Use strong, unique passwords for every single site. Don't reuse passwords.
Yeah, that's a hard habit to break, but critical.
Absolutely critical. Password managers can help a lot there.
Good point. Anything else long term?
Monitor your Social Security Administration statements online. You can create an account on the SSA website. Check that no one's trying to use your SSN for employment or benefits.
Oh, interesting. Didn't think of that.
And given the severity here, especially with the SSN exposure, the sources suggest looking into identity theft protection services. These services actively monitor various data sources for misuse of your information.
Makes sense. What about just changing my AT&T password? Does that help?
Yes. Definitely change your current AT&T password and make sure 2FA is on for your AT&T account itself. That helps secure your current service login.
But,
and this is really important to understand, changing your password now does nothing to protect you from the misuse of the data that's already stolen. The name, address, birth date, and especially that plain text SSN, they're already out there. The risk comes from that exposed data, not just someone logging into your AT&T account.
Got it. Securing the account is good, but the stolen data is a separate ongoing problem. This feels bigger than just AT&T, though. Does this breach tell us anything about the wider industry? Telecom, tech security.
I think it does. The sources suggest this really highlights some, significant vulnerabilities in the infrastructure that handles massive amounts of customer data in the telecom sector.
If it can happen here with this kind of data.
Right. It raises serious questions about data handling practices, security protocols across the board.
And the decryption part, does that mean encryption isn't as safe as we thought?
It's definitely a major concern. It suggests that determined attackers might have ways to break or bypass encryption that we rely on, whether it's finding flaws, stealing the key somehow, or using really advanced techniques. The fact that they could decrypt SSNs at this scale is worrying.
Could this lead to changes, like new regulations?
The sources speculate it might. An incident like this, with such sensitive data exposed in plain text, could absolutely trigger more regulatory scrutiny and potentially lead to stricter data protection rules, especially for companies holding this kind of critical infrastructure role and data.
Okay, let's try and anticipate some questions people listening might have, drawing on the info and the sources. First big one, how do I even know if my data was part of this specific breach?
That's the tricky part right now. According to the reporting, AT&T hasn't set up an official way for you to check if you were included in this specific dataset leak.
So no lookup tool or anything yet?
Not that's been announced related to this incident. So the main advice remains. Assume you could be affected if you're a current or former customer, and focus on monitoring your credit and accounts for any suspicious signs.
And if I do find something weird, like an account I didn't open or a charge I don't recognize?
Act fast.
Yeah.
Contact the bank or credit card company immediately. Dispute the charge or flag the account. Contact the credit bureaus. And if it looks like actual identity theft, file reports with the police and the Federal Trade Commission, FTC. Document everything.
Okay. And back to the decrypted SSNs, how did they even do that? Did the sources explain the method?
No, the specific technical how wasn't detailed in the material we reviewed. It could be exploiting a weakness, maybe getting hold of encryption keys, advanced brute forcing.
Mm.
We don't know the exact mechanism publicly.
But the fact that they were decrypted is the critical takeaway.
Exactly. That's the immediate danger.
Is this like the biggest breach ever for AT&T then, given the SSNs?
It's nuanced. In terms of total customer count, some previous incidents, like Snowflake, might have involved more profiles overall.
Okay.
But because of the type of data, those plain text SSNs, specifically the security impact and the immediate risk to individuals, are arguably far more severe in this case.
Mm.
It makes it incredibly significant, even if not the absolute largest by sheer numbers alone.
Right. The danger level is higher. What about free credit monitoring? Is AT&T offering it for this?
Again, as of the reporting date, there was no announcement from AT&T about offering free credit monitoring specifically tied to this incident.
But people can still get their free annual reports, right?
Yes, absolutely. Everyone is entitled to one free report from each of the three bureaus per year via annualcreditreport.com. And placing those fraud alerts we mentioned often comes with some limited monitoring features from the bureaus, too.
Okay. This might be the toughest question. How long is this data actually dangerous? Does this threat, like, fade away after a year or two?
This is a crucial point the sources really stress. Your core identifiers, name, date of birth, and especially your social security number, they don't expire. They don't change.
They're permanent.
Essentially, yes. So once that data is exposed, particularly the SSN, it can be misused for years, decades even. It's not a short-term problem. It requires ongoing vigilance, potentially for a very, very long time.
Decades. Wow. That really puts the severity of exposing plain text SSNs into perspective.
It absolutely does. It's not like a password you can just change.
Okay, so let's recap quickly. Massive AT&T breach, 86 million people. The huge red flag, over 43 million decrypted plain text social security numbers floating around.
Which creates immediate serious risks for identity theft, financial fraud, you name it.
It fits into a history of breaches, but the plain text SSNs make this uniquely dangerous. And according to the sources, AT&T hasn't officially addressed this specific incident yet.
Which leaves the most important takeaway for you listening. Take action. Monitor your credit immediately. Consider fraud alerts or freezes. Use 2FA everywhere. Strong, unique passwords. Long-term vigilance is key.
Which really leaves us with a final thought, doesn't it? If something as permanent and critical as your social security number can end up exposed like this in plain text, creating a risk that lasts for decades, what does that say about how we value our digital security versus convenience? And how do we even begin to balance those two things when the stakes are clearly this high? Definitely something to chew on.